In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation, and as always, it's great to be with you. So as we start our conversation today, we'd like to invite Mary to be with us. Mary has many beautiful titles. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. Mary is the mother of each and every one of us. We also call out to Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Mary is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's say the prayer that Mary loves most, and that prayer is the Hail Mary. Together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's invite our spiritual director to be with us. Who is our spiritual director? Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. What a blessing it is to have the Holy Spirit as our guide. So we like to invite the Holy Spirit to guide us and to enlighten us and to strengthen us. Holy Spirit is known as the Paraclete. Holy Spirit is also known as the gift of gifts. He's also known as the sweet guest of the soul. Holy Spirit is also known as the Paraclete. Holy Spirit is also his interior master. The interior master. The teacher. So let's ask the Holy Spirit to give us a lot of light in our intellect. The fire of divine love to burn within our hearts. As we say, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Francis Xavier, pray for us. Saint Robert Bellarmine, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. It's true, my friends, that the family that prays together stays together. How true that is. Family that prays together stays together. So today, and when I celebrate my holy sacrifice of the Mass, I'd like to pray for all of you. And for various intentions. First, I'd like to pray for all of us that we would be open to the workings of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So we could pray this prayer that would be really open and docile to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Through the heart of Mary. Our sanctification depends in large part upon being open and docile to the workings of the Holy Spirit. So I'd like to place these intentions on the altar. Another one would be, I'd like to place on the altar your family and your children. These difficult times with many false ideologies and agenda, now more than ever, parents have to know their faith. Otherwise, their children can be confused. Confused, especially over their sexual identity. Bible teaches very clearly that God created male and female. A man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. They'll become one flesh. And what God has united, let no man rent asunder. Those are words that come from the book of Genesis, and our Lord will repeat that in his teaching, as well as St. Paul. That's why we come together, to get to go through the biblical passages, but also to give you formation talks so that you can form and teach your children. So you can form and teach your children. So that's my second intention. My third intention will be, I'd like to pray for the conversion of sinners. Two different categories. One would be the many Catholics that have walked away from the church. So I'd like to pray that the huge numbers of Catholics that have walked away from the church, that through our prayers, our good example, and our teachings, that they will come back. It's never too late. So let's pray for the wandering, lost Catholics, and there are millions of them, that they will come back to the church, to the practice of the sacraments. Let's pray for that. Because the biggest religious group in our country are non-practicing Catholics. And also would be, I'd like to pray for those who will be dying today. Deathbed sinners. Those who are dying not in the state of grace, that through our prayers, by my placing them on the altar, that they will be saved. Remember the words of Christ himself, who said, "What would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul?" So, those will be my intentions today. Given that today is Saturday, I always like to give a short Marian catechesis on Saturday to honor Mary. So today, I invite all of you, in honor of the memorial that we celebrated a couple of days ago, try to memorize the seven sorrows of Mary. That's right. Try to memorize the seven sorrows of Mary. And I'll go through them. You might even write them down and try to memorize them. And you might even meditate upon the seven sorrows of Mary. The first is a prophecy of Simeon, that a sword would pierce the heart of Mary. The second sorrow would be the flight into Egypt, when the wicked King Herod was bent upon murdering Christ as he killed the holy innocents. The third would be when Joseph and Mary lose the Christ child for 3 long days. The fourth would be the encounter between Jesus and Mary on the road of Calvary. The fifth would be the crucifixion of Christ. The Christ was crucified, and Mary witnessed the crucifixion and the death of her son. The sixth sorrow would be Mary receives the dead body of Christ into her arms. Remember Michelangelo, the Pietà. And the seventh would be Jesus is taken from the arms of Mary and placed in the tomb. My friends, those are the seven sorrows of Mary that we should try to memorize and meditate upon them at times. I'd like to ask for another prayer starting today. I'm starting another program of the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola. It's a 10-week program. We start this evening. We'll be doing it at St. Joseph's Church in Pomona. We'll start off with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, which will be at 5 p.m. Then we'll have the class at 6:15. Then we'll have group sharing from 7:15 to about 7:45. So I invite all of you to pray for this new spiritual exercise program that we'll be starting today. If you'd like to come and participate, you're more than welcome. I've been giving this program for about 17 years, and actually thousands of people have gone through this program, but there are still millions who have not. So I invite you to maybe invite a friend or two, or even yourself, and go. It's the St. Joseph's Church in Pomona. So if you just Google in St. Joseph Church Pomona, you'll get the directions. Here you have that beautiful picture of Saint Ignatius. Maybe see Saint Ignatius in this picture is depicted in his liturgical garments. After he was ordained, he spent a whole year in preparation for celebrating his first Mass. Think about that. He spent a whole year before he celebrated his first Mass because he recognized the greatness of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Then, next Thursday at 6 p.m., I'll be giving another series of spiritual exercises. This one will be in Spanish, in the Church of Our Lady of the Rosary in Paramount. This one is in Spanish, and this will start with a Mass at 6 p.m. and then we'll have the class at 7:15 to 8:15 and group sharing from 8:15 to 8:45. So we're about to start our two spiritual exercises program, which will take us, this will take us into December, getting close to Christmas, because it's a 10-week program. So I ask for your prayers to come and to invite others. You promote this program for me. All right, today, my friends, the biblical reflections today is a continuation of 1 Corinthians 15, where St. Paul once again talks about the resurrection of Christ, and he tries to resolve some questions about the resurrection of the body. Then we have the responsorial psalmist, Psalm 56. I will walk in the presence of God in the light of the living. How beautiful. I'll walk in the presence of God in the light of the living. Then we move into Luke chapter 8. And today we have the version of St. Luke of the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower. However, I'd like to start off by talking to you about the saint that we celebrate today and see if we can connect the saint that we celebrate today to the Word of God, because the saints are those who really lived out the Word of God in the fullest way possible, the saints. Okay, today, my friends, the Church celebrates a Jesuit saint. His name is Saint Robert Bellarmine, or in Italian or Spanish, Bellarmino. Saint Robert Bellarmine. He was born in Italy, October 4th, 1542, and he died on September 17th, 1621, canonized 1930, patron of catechists and catechumens. Physically, Robert Bellarmine was a very small man. So for him to be seen when he was preaching as a priest and a bishop, he'd have to stand on a stool in order to be seen in the high pulpits in Europe. But he was a giant in many other ways. And he's going to be living the time of the Protestant Reformation. You know, the Protestant Reformation started in England with Henry VIII, then in Germany with Martin Luther, and then in Switzerland with John Calvin and Zwingli. So the Protestant Reformation was spreading like wildfire in Europe. So there had to be what is called the Counter-Reform. The Counter-Reform, Robert Bellarmine was one of the key figures. And it culminated in the convening of the Council of Trent, where the Catholics went to express what the Catholic Church teaches. And from that, we have the first universal catechism. It's called the Catechism of the Council of Trent. So St. Robert Bellarmine was a key figure in that time. He was the third of 10 children in a noble family where prayer and serving others was very important. In our families also, we have to try to cultivate in your families a deep prayer life. And also seek ways in which you can serve others. So when he was about 18, in 1560, he entered the Jesuits. The Jesuits are just starting off. And he's going to be ordained a priest, and his sermons were so powerful that people came from all over. And many were converted. And that's one of the most authentic signs of good preaching, is when we're preaching, we can touch the minds and the hearts of people and arrive at conversion. Conversion can be a radical conversion, but also conversion can be a gradual conversion. And then he was such a brilliant student and had a keen mind that they made him the professor of theology at the Roman College. Today we call that the Gregorian. The Roman College, the Gregorian, which was established by the Jesuits. There, St. Robert Bellarmine taught for 12 years. Then in a response to defending the faith, Robert Bellarmine became a very prolific writer. So much that he wrote several volumes defending the Catholic faith. This is called Controversies of the Disputations, which he very clearly defended the Catholic faith against the attacks that were leveled against Catholicism by the Protestants. Not only that, but you're going to have the Council of Trent that's going to be publishing the Universal Catechism. But also, Robert Bellarmine is going to work to write two catechisms that became classics that would be used for many generations. So he's writing very detailed theological works to defend Catholicism against the Protestant revolt, and then catechisms so that Catholics can understand their Catholic faith. In the year 1598, Robert was named a cardinal against his wishes. He opposed it, but the Pope said, if you do not accept, then that would be a mortal sin. So in obedience to the Pope, he accepted this role as cardinal and bishop. So in his Vatican apartment, he ate only food available for the poor. So even though he was elected to a very high position, he wanted to live like the poor. Now, there were so many poor people in Rome, and the curtains that he had on his wall he gave for clothing to the poor, saying the walls won't catch cold. Think about the luxurious curtains that he had to, on his wall. He took them down and he was able to turn them into clothes. And he said, don't worry about that. The walls are not going to catch cold. Then in 1602, he was elected to become the Archbishop of Capua. Archbishop. So he's made a cardinal, then he's made an Archbishop of Capua, where he becomes an outstanding pastor, a shepherd to his sheep. But 1605, he was called to Rome to work to defend the church against the heresies of the day. And not only that, but he would be the advisor of five different popes, giving these popes advice on pastoral and theological matters. One of his friends was Galileo, the scientist. So Bellarmine had the unpleasant task of warning his friend on behalf of the church not to propose as fact theories not yet proved. In the end, Galileo's theory that the earth circled the sun was shown to be correct. So Robert Bellarmine died in the Jesuit novitiate after reciting the creed and receiving the Pope's blessing. And he was instrumental also in the formation of St. Aloysius Gonzaga. And he wanted to be buried close to this young saint. 1931, he was declared a doctor of the church. Now, a doctor of the church, my friends, has to have these qualities. Both deep and clear teaching, as well as holiness of life. Clear teaching, but also holiness of life. All right, that's St. Robert Bellarmine. What we can glean from him is the following. Let's pray that we would have intelligent Catholic theologians that will teach the fullness of the truth, that they would be imbued with holiness of life. Never have we lived in a world where there's so much confusion as today. All right, let's move then into the first reading today is taken from St. Paul. And once again, St. Paul is talking about the reality of the resurrection. And I'd like to just pull out one idea from St. Paul, and then we'll move into the gospel for today. And it's this, what we sow in our lives is what we're going to reap. What we sow, using an example, in farming, what we sow is what we're going to reap. If we sow in the flesh, giving in to our lower passions, giving in to our disordered desires, giving in to concupiscence, giving in to the old man, so to speak, then we will reap a harvest of corruption. In other words, we're in danger of losing our soul for all eternity. But if we sow in the Spirit, sowing faith and hope and charity and love and compassion and service and generous giving and purity and meekness and patience and self-control, then we will reap a harvest. We'll reap a harvest of eternal life with the Lord. The responsorial psalm, taken from Psalm 56, I'll walk in the presence of God in the light of the living. One idea from that. I'll walk in the presence of the Lord in the light of the living. I mentioned this work in the past, but I'll mention it again. There's a brother that wrote a very short work, which is very powerful in as a means of growing in holiness. The name is Brother Lawrence. And his little work is living in the presence of God. As the psalm says, I will walk in the presence of God. My friends, we should strive to walk and live in the presence of God. St. Teresa of Avila points out that one of the principal reasons why we commit sin is that we forget about the presence of God. One way, my friends, that we can cultivate this presence of God is by having holy reminders. That's right. Having holy reminders. You notice in my studio here in the background, you have Our Lady Guadalupe, the Sacred Heart, Saint Joseph, Our Lady Fatima. Wherever you go, have holy reminders. In your home, in your office, in your car, in your wallet, to have these holy reminders. And with that, to cultivate the practice of praying short prayers during the course of the day. Like, Jesus, I trust in you. Sweetheart of Mary, be my salvation. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto yours. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Lord, be with me. Lord, save me. These are short prayers that we can pray during the course of the day, becoming more and more aware of God's enveloping presence in our lives. Because, as the poet points out, that St. Paul quotes in the Acts of the Apostles, referring to God's presence, in God, in Him, we live and move and have our being. There we have it. In God, in Him, we live and move and have our being. And as the psalmist points out, if we go to the heights of the mountains, you are present there. If we plunge to the depths of the sea, you are present there. Even in the dark watches of the night, you see us as if the sun were beaming down upon us in midday. How beautiful and poetical the Psalm 138 is. We go to the heights, we go to the depths, even in the darkness. God's loving gaze is upon us. So you might try to cultivate that during the course of the day. Becoming more and more keenly aware of God's presence in our lives. All right, my friends. Let's turn now to the gospel. I'd like to summarize the gospel in my own words and then give you some ideas to reflect upon. I mention this several times to help us to meditate well on the Word of God. To have a method for your meditation, that would be to read the Word of God, to memorize its basic content, then what is the general interpretation of this passage? Then what is the interpretation for me? And then what would be the practical application? How can I apply the Word of God to my life? So Jesus, not only did he work many miracles, but also he taught. And he taught in abundance. One of the vehicles that he utilized when he was teaching would be that of parables. The parables. Last Sunday we had the parable of the prodigal son. There is a parable of the good Samaritan. There is a parable of the rich man and Lazarus. There's a parable of the rich fool. And the parable we have today is the parable of the sower, the seed, and the field. So Jesus was surrounded by a large crowd of people. He was going from one town to another. So he speaks to the people in the parable. Let's try to imagine this parable. Because our Lord had many people that would follow him, among which would be fishermen, but also would be farmers. So given that he had many farmers that would be following him, he gave this parable that all of them would be able to understand. So one of the things that the farmer would do is he would have a sack underneath his arm and he'd be sowing seeds for his field. So try to imagine it, that there is a farmer, we call him a sower, who's walking out in his field, and he's taking hands of seed and he's throwing them right and left. So these seeds are going to be falling on ground. But different types of ground. What would be the types of ground that these seeds would fall upon? You know, Jesus actually gives various types of terrain. Now try to imagine it. Try to imagine, do a contemplation. Imagine a farmer going out, walking in the field with the bag underneath his arm, and he's casting the seed to the right, to the left. Imagine maybe you're doing that, or you're helping him out. So, these are the different terrain. Okay, some of the seed are going to fall on the footpath. That's right. Some of the seed are going to fall on the footpath. The second will fall on rocky ground. The third will fall on the thorns. The fourth will be falling upon good terrain. But even on the good terrain, there's good, better, and best. So in a certain sense, once they fall on the good terrain, there's three different variations, because there can be good terrain, but better, but the best terrain. So there's the first part. There's the first part of the parable. Now Jesus goes on to explain the parable in this way. The seed that falls upon the footpath, the birds descend, and the birds, they swipe down and they eat the seed. So the seed is never, not even going to sink into the ground. The second, the seed that falls on rocky ground cannot dig its roots into rock. So that seed is going to die. The third would be the seed that falls into thorns. And when the seed is growing up, the thorns actually choke it out. And then the seed falls upon good ground, better ground, and the best of all grounds. So there we have the parable of Christ. Now, an interesting note is this. Of all the parables of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the prodigal son, the good Samaritan, the rich fool, the dragnet, all these parables that our Lord teaches, not one of these parables that I mentioned to you does Jesus ever give an explanation or an interpretation except one parable. Except one parable, and that's the parable that we have today. And it is the parable of the sower. And it comes as a response of the disciples asking Jesus, what is the meaning of this parable? So as a response to the question of the disciples, Jesus says, knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of God has been granted to you, but to the rest they are made known through parables, so that they may look but not see, and hear but not understand. So we should imagine we're sitting at the feet of Christ, and he's going to be explaining to us what is the meaning of this parable, but also we want to apply this to our lives. We want to apply this to our lives. All right, so let's give the interpretation. Who is the sower? The sower, who's that farmer? Who's the sower? The sower, my friends, is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is the sower. He is the teacher par excellence. Now the seed that the sower is casting out into the field would be the Word of God, the Bible itself. Saint Jerome, who is one of the Western fathers of the Church, has said that ignorance of sacred scripture is ignorance of Christ. Now, the different terrain on which the seed falls would be what? It would be the individual human hearts and the different response. The different response of the human hearts to the Word of God. Different response of the human hearts to the Word of God. In other words, every human heart is different. Human heart can be very hard and closed. Or the heart might be a little bit open. Or it might be half open. Or the heart can be totally open to the seed of the Word of God. So the different terrain would be different ways in which the Word of God cannot root itself. So the Word of God falling upon the footpath and the birds descending to devour that seed would actually be the devil himself. The devil can easily steal the Word of God from taking root in our souls. The devil doesn't want any of the Word of God to penetrate our mind and our hearts. The devil works day and night to prevent the Word of God from entering into our hearts. Then there is the rocky soil. That would be, my friends, people that are basically basing their faith upon feelings and emotions and emotional highs. They follow feelings rather than faith and reason. Then there's the seed that falls upon the thorns. And the seed is suffocated. And that's people that are given into worldliness. Classical spiritual writers speak about three enemies of the spiritual life: the devil, the flesh, and the world. Worldliness as well as worries. How many people are tormented by worries? They worry about the past. They worry about the future. And by worrying about the past and worrying about the future, we do not take advantage of the present moment. As St. Therese spoke about and Brother Lawrence, we should live the sacrament of the present moment. We only have now. The past, we want to live in the infinite ocean of God's mercy. The future, we want to leave to divine providence. We want to live the sacrament of the present moment. That's the secret of the saints. And then finally, my friends, you have the seed that falls on good ground, fertile ground. But some terrain are better than others. And Jesus will go on to say, and those built on the good ground, they produce abundant fruit. Abundant fruit. Of 30, 60, and 100 fold. 30, 60, and even 100 fold. And Jesus will go on to say, He who has ears to hear should listen. So, how do we interpret and apply the Word of God to ourselves? We can apply this wonderful parable, my friends, to us right now, is that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He is the sower. And on a daily basis, Jesus the sower wants to sow in this terrain. In this terrain, so in your mind, as well as in your heart. He wants to sow His Word. He wants the Bible, the Word of God, to take deep root, in your mind and in your heart. And how can we know that it's taking root in your mind and your heart? By the fruits that we produce. Jesus says, you can know a tree by its fruits. A good tree does not bring forth bad fruit. Rather, a good tree will bring forth good fruit. So on this day, my friends, in which we honor the Blessed Virgin Mary, two times in sacred scripture it mentions Mary. Mary who meditates upon the Word of God in her heart. That's right. In Luke, with the coming of the shepherds, Mary ponders the Word of God in her heart. And then when Jesus is lost and found in the temple, then Mary, for her part, she meditates upon the Word of God in her heart. So I invite all of you to pray for our spiritual exercises program today, because this is the way to really live out that parable. For 10 weeks, we're going to be trying to sow the seed of the Word of God, and many people have signed up. I beg for your prayers that we would bring forth a harvest, a rich harvest of eternal life. And I'd like to give you my priestly blessing. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Amen.